Welcome to Season 5, Episode 4 of Beyond the Zero. I'm your host, Ben. Joining me today is Kelly Sather. Kelly is an author, and her debut collection, Small in Real Life, is out now from University of Pittsburgh Press, and she joins me from somewhere near San Francisco. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
How's life up in Northern California?
You know, it was a rainy night, and now we have a very beautiful afternoon. I have some redwoods just behind my yard, so everything's looking pretty stunning right now outside.
Amazing. Okay. And you grew up in Hollywood. You worked as a lawyer and also a screenwriter down there. Do you want to tell us about moving up to Northern California and some of the differences?
Sure. Yes. And I actually grew up in a town in Los Angeles County called Pacific Palisades, which is right next to Santa Monica and Malibu. Mm-hmm. And at the time when I grew up there, it was sleepier than it is now, I'll say. And it was kind of like a small town within the city, which was idyllic in some ways and also not in others. And then I worked as an entertainment attorney for a while in the film business. So that's my Hollywood time. Yeah. And I think the move up to Northern California, you know, I was still working on screenplays when I came up here, and I don't really know. I had some friends who were moving up with their families, and it's really beautiful here too. So it was sort of a nice time to like try something new.
Okay. Awesome. I want to ask you about your time screenwriting, because I find that whole world really fascinating. Tell us about how you got into that and some of the things you worked on and some of the highlights of that time.
So I was a reluctant attorney. I'll say it that way. I think I was fulfilling my parents' dreams when I became an attorney, although I really loved the work in the entertainment business, and also the people I worked with were terrific. So I was always on that edge of wanting to write and trying to figure out how to do something more creative. Mm-hmm. And as a production attorney, I got to do all the agreements for, you know, the screenwriters at the beginning of a project, and then through everything like the directors, producers, the location agreements, all the details that go into on the business side of getting a film together and made. And so the good thing about that is that I met a number of producers, so that when I was starting to make that transition and say, okay, I really do want to write, I had some contacts, and it worked out because I was able to develop a project with a producer, and that's kind of like how I got started with it.
Cool. And so what were some of the projects you worked on?
So my thing was female-driven thrillers, which makes sense because my starting out when I was like a lot of writers, a huge reader as a kid, and I loved mysteries, and I got really hooked on the Agatha Christie, and then I moved on to, I would read anything like that. And so when I started, I think the first project was, it was kind of like a small picture, and it was about a woman who returned to town after having amnesia and finding things not as she had remembered them and sort of piecing together the past. And so I think that was something that I had always been interested in, this like dynamic of time and relationships. And so that's what I was writing and pitching. I would sort of have meetings about anything that was had humor in it too. Like that was the other aspect, is that I also have always written into like a dark humor angle.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So we should move on to your short story collection. It recently won the Drew Hines Prize for Literature, which is really cool. Do you want to just give us some of the background of this collection? There's 9 stories in it. They range in a lot of different ways. You've got a whole lot of different characters in these stories. They're all kind of, I think, in a way, they almost feel like little film treatments, like if I'm, you know, backing it into your work as a screenwriter. But they're mostly set around Hollywood, Southern California. They focus on themes such as, I guess, selfishness and illness and entitlement. And at times, you know, that idea of people wanting to know lots about other people and people being jealous of other people. But do you want to tell us a bit about the collection, how it came together, and some of the themes you're interested in covering?
Yes, so the collection came together in, it's funny because as a writer, when I look back, I can pull it all together. But at the time, I really wrote it in parts, and I started with these images, or I think oftentimes scenes or conflicts between two people that I had been curious about. And so they became these like stories about this imaginative space for me, which was really this Los Angeles that I grew up in, and then also one that I saw working in the business, and pieces that I had always thought, oh, that is a really strange thing that just happened, or this party that I'm at feels very uncomfortable. And then as I was writing stories, even though I didn't plan on exploring those things, that's the material that I found myself going back to. And then I kept going. I often writers will talk about, oh, I always knew I was going to have this collection about this area or this town. And I think for me, it was more organic. I just really loved the form of the story. And so I was just putting and following these threads of each story. And then pretty soon I realized that I was looking at this like particular landscape of this period of time that felt it felt like a way of exploring belonging. And I also I'm interested in following the darker threads and the humor in that I think oftentimes when people are resisting emotion, humor is a way to do that.
Okay, cool. It's a really wide-ranging collection. You go from this alcoholic paparazzo to a family traveling in Europe, and there's a whole lot in between. There's lots of relationships that break up. There's lots of things that happen. I don't want to get too deeply into the stories themselves because I feel like it'll give some of the plot points away. But do you want to just give us a taste of what we can expect in your collection?
Yes. So as you say, there's an alcoholic paparazzo who finds himself in a rehab
Rehab,
facility in Malibu. Yes. And is sort of caught between a new friendship with an actor who happens to be there at the same time and competing with him as he faces the losses and sort of being held accountable to things that he's done in his life. And then there's maybe a few stories about teenagers trying to make their lives better at the cost of their family and not realizing their own power or trying for power and then causing pain inside their family and to themselves. Like often the characters are making the choices that towards their own kind of fame that they're searching for, and that can separate them from the belonging that I think is the deeper want and loss that they're feeling.
I want to talk about setting in these stories because, as we said, a lot of it's set around that California Hollywood area. And I think that maybe it's because this area seems to exaggerate this feeling of needing to have things, because I feel like it's, having visited there quite a bit, like there are the people who aspire to stuff and don't get it, and the people who have stuff and have it. Do you want to tell us about setting these stories in this kind of environment?
Yes, so I think that there's that part of it, and then I also think that there's I find like a real natural beauty in Southern California. Oftentimes when I if I'm coming down to visit and I take the plane and I get off the plane and I just the air smells different. Like it has sort of this arid yet also ocean, so it's sort of like this desert coastal mix. And so I brought that into the stories a lot because that was something that just really I felt just sort of this physical presence of that. And I think in terms of the aspects of Los Angeles, of whether it's this feeling of how you look or are you well known enough or people you know. I mean, there's one thing about when you grow up in an area and there's a business in that area, even though my parents weren't involved. There were people around that we knew were, whether they were commercial directors or actors or, there was sort of like you sort of sensed it around in a different way. And there was this illusion that you were special because you knew about it. And I think that even though it was a very, in some ways, I'm exploring this kind of like suburban life and reaction to it, which I think can happen anywhere. And using this template of whether it's attention to how we look or whether we are significant in the context of this idea of entertainment in Hollywood, like that these are the special people kind of thing.
Yeah. One of my favorite stories in the collection was Venice. It involves this family. I think it's one of the later stories in the collection. It might even be, it's one of the last ones, but it involves this family and they're on their last week of holiday in Europe. Do you want to just set that story up for us? Because I just found it a fascinating piece.
Yes. So it's a family of four, and we're following the daughter who's around 16 years old, and she is coming into that sort of awareness of herself as drawing men's attention. And her family's reaction to it is sort of not to have a reaction to it, her parents. And then she has a younger brother who she's kind of distancing herself from, but also at times that might be her closest relationship in the family. And he sort of has his own pathway. So the family has a lot of silences in it, and the kids are kind of finding, I guess they're finding ways to mess around, right? Because they're not being watched very carefully. And so they're in Venice, they're at a very fancy hotel that they also don't quite understand, because they're trying to sort of feel where they are in this affluence aspect that their parents seem to have, but also don't. The teenage girl develops a crush and pursues it, and she finds herself in an adult world that she doesn't really know how to manage.
Yeah. One of the things that I really like about these stories is they feel so fleshed out. They feel like much longer pieces of writing than small short stories, because most of them don't range to over about 20 pages. They are like, it's a relatively short collection, but you pack so much into these stories. And I feel like they're extremely visual as well. Do you want to tell us about that aspect of your writing?
Yes. So, and that's part of what I love about a story is the form itself demands, or at least that's how I see it. I also love, you know, there's terrific, very short pieces. Like I really love Lydia Davis's work. So it's not that every story is the kind of length that I work into is sort of that, you know, 12 to 20 pages.
Yeah.
And I like to see how much can happen in that short space, and like how much pressure these characters can be under. There's another aspect to writing stories, which is just when I write, I'm just going to the next sentence. And then of course in revision, there's this other process of like developing what's underneath them. But I find there's a lot of magic in that first draft of staying, you know, whether usually I'm at the computer, if I get stuck, I'll move to a notebook, and just sort of being with it and being in the story. And I think some of that depth comes naturally to whatever is going on in that sort of magic of like the conscious and the subconscious blending when I give myself time to just sit and work.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask you about that was, I feel like you've pulled on a whole lot of different strings in the setup of these stories. Are there stories that you want to continue exploring, or is there like a longer piece that you'd like to work on?
So I, for a long time, when I started writing stories, I love novels, and I've read a lot of stories, but I would say as a reader, it would seem natural that I would try a novel because that is sort of more what I'd read more, but I couldn't understand how to hold a novel. Like it felt unwieldy in some way. And I really wanted to like feel the contours of what I was doing. And so that is why I love the story form. And yet I found now that even though I agree, like I feel like these stories have a texture to them where they could continue. But I have sort of set them aside a little bit and am working on a longer project now, which I didn't expect, but I used to hear story writers talk about how they just said, well, and then I started writing a novel as if it was sort of just happened, but it's happened to me now, which is exciting. Like I like feeling like I can just roam around and have more space.
Well, do you want to tell us about that project?
Well, I can't, I don't really like to talk about what I'm working on in the sense of like specifics of what it's about, but it does happen in California and there is a family involved. Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that whenever that comes out.
Thank you.
Cool. All right. Shall we move on to your gateway books? What were some of the books that opened the world of literature for you?
So this is such an interesting question because I think that when I mentioned Agatha Christie as an early reader, I also read Catch 22 in high school. I mean, I think there's books that you read as a teenager that become it's a time when you're really open to I don't know whether it's creativity or identity and these things that are sort of a very natural opening, like you kind of feel like yes. And I really felt that with Catch 22, I think because the time fascinated me. But in terms of when I really turned to writing and stories, Amy Hempel and I was reading Mary Robison when I was working on this collection, early on, Alice Munro, Jesus's Son by Dennis Johnson, just for the, as you said, like how much you can do in a story. His collection was really something that I would turn to. And then William Trevor and Mavis Gallant. I love Mavis Gallant's work.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. In terms of books you're reading at the moment, what books have you current are you currently reading, or have you recently enjoyed, or are you looking forward to?
So I read a book by Chetna Maru called Western Lane that is a short novel and just really I loved the book. It was really good. And then I read Nothing Special by Nicole Flattery recently. She's an Irish writer, and that's a really interesting book. It's about Andy Warhol and a typist who worked at the factory. Claire Keegan's Foster is another piece. I realize I'm talking about shorter pieces. And then I went on an E.M. Forster kick. I
Oh,
went on a
cool.
Forster kick. And I think after I read Zadie Smith's On Beauty, and read a little bit about her reading Forster. And so I went back and read A Room with a View and Howards End, both which I really loved.
We'll take a quick break here on Beyond the Zero. We're speaking with Kelly Sather. Do you have young kids? Do you struggle to get trustworthy babysitters at a reasonable price? Well, why not try Golem Babysitting Services, proud sponsors of this week's episode. Here's a few words from one of our highly qualified professionals.
When Golem say go the fuck to sleep, he mean it, and children go to sleep. I have many years experience.
We love you, Golem!
Use promo code Where's My Dick for 10% off your first booking. We're back on Beyond the Zero. It's time for Kelly's Desert Island Books.
So when you say Desert Island, I was thinking about the movie Albert Brooks, Defending Your Life. Have you seen that movie? There's a great part where he ends up, in, let's just call it heaven. And there's chocolate chip cookies and like everything you want. So I'm gonna think about it that way as something that I love and would just keep on reading. And so I go to Virginia Woolf. To the Lighthouse. I think of Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice. Song of Solomon by Toni Morrison is a book I can just keep reading. Joan Didion, Lucille Clifton's poems. That's something I'd like to have on a desert island. And then, you know what I really love is the Paris Review author interviews or artist interviews. And just to have a collection of those, I think there's something about reading how artists have developed. I mean, it's kind of like what you do here, which is to create the space to talk about writing and reading and books. And so I think I'd love to have a volume of those to just kind of read through too.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, I might slip this in elsewhere, was in terms of the visual aspect of your work, do you have some visual inspirations?
Yes, and I didn't realize that I worked that way until I've been talking about the book. But often I do really start with a conflict, or and sometimes that's a conflict between two people. As a when I was writing scripts, because it's dialogue, right? I mean, there's obviously a lot of action, but oftentimes I think of that as where the director really comes in and has vision. And so as a writer, I would really focus on dialogue and how much I could create for actors, directors on the page with words. And so oftentimes I'm like, I'll talk out loud while I'm working and I'll like really. And so in some ways that's visual. It's sort of like bringing the scene in a way. And then sometimes it's more like place driven. There's a story called Small in Real Life in the collection. And it's about a failed musician who goes to a party in the Hollywood Hills. And that story, I was really thinking about what it feels like to be in the backyard of one of these houses on the hillside. And so that comes into it too.
Cool. All right. Well, I should wrap this part of it up with you. But before we do you want to tell us where we can catch up with you online and also where we can go and buy Small in Real Life?
Yes. So kellysather.com is my website. And also I'm on Instagram, KL_Sather. And the book is available. I was thinking about this. I think any bookseller can order the book. I realize a lot of your listeners may be outside of the States. And so I was thinking about that. And I think it's also available online at online places as well. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks once again to Kelly Sather. Check out the show notes for all the details. You can find us on X and Instagram at Beyond Zero Pod, and you can email us at beyondzeropod@gmail.com. We'll be back with the next episode very soon.